Every Catholic knows that the feast of the Pentecost is absolutely crucial in the church's liturgical calendar. Every Catholic knows that. Today is the birthday of the church. This is the day the church was born. This is the day on which the church was empowered. And this is the day on which the church begins to live out the missionary command of Jesus. We all know this. In spite of the significance of the feast and of the Holy Spirit, it seems to me that we also struggle with the abstractness of the Holy Spirit. And particularly this is true of us Catholics. It's difficult for us to put a face to the Holy Spirit. And many Catholics struggle with how is the Holy Spirit significant in my personal life? How is the Holy Spirit important for us together as a child, as a church? And if you ask most Catholics, and I probably can bet you on this one, I think Catholics find it easier to pray to Mary or the saints, and perhaps we do that more, than praying to the Holy Spirit. Two reasons for that. First of all, as I said, it's very difficult to put a face to the Holy Spirit. We know what Jesus looked like. At least we have images of Jesus. We know what Mary is like. We even know what the saints are like. But the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit look like? We only have images. A dove, fire, water. What face do we put to the Holy Spirit? The second reason we find it difficult to deal with this abstractness, this ambiguity, is because we Catholics are very tangible people. We're a sacramental people. We like to touch holy things, right? We have a crucifix in our homes. When we enter the church, we dip our hands in holy water. We like the touch of these holy things. And we sign ourselves with the sign of the cross. We like the feel of rosary beads in our hands. And we like a prayer book. It's more concrete and easier to pray from a prayer book than just sit and meditate. We bless our homes. We bless our crucifixes. We bless our new cars. We even bless our pets. Right? When we come to the Eucharist to worship, we like the fact that we can touch Jesus in bread and wine. It's concrete, it's tangible. When we can't sell our homes, we bury St. Joseph upside down in our yards so we can sell our homes, right? We like the tangibility of our faith. The Holy Spirit defies this tangibility, this concreteness, this face that we can give to anything divine. And so for us Catholics, it's hard to deal with the ambiguity, the abstractness of the Holy Spirit. So my three points that I have today, there are two of them are a reflection, the third one is a prayer. And I hope all of you got that little card that was given to you at the back of the church, but we'll end with that prayer. But first let me talk about the fact that ambiguity or abstractness does not mean unimportant. That's the first thing I want to talk about. And I want to begin with the gospel reading where Jesus breathes on the disciples. Breath. It's a fabulous image. Can you imagine that? It's like, you know, these readers are sitting over here, and imagine there were 12 people over there, and Jesus came and stood in their midst, and for some reason, Jesus, he breathed on them. Breath, breath. A very significant image. See, most of us pay very little importance to our breath. In fact, we don't think about our breath unless we have a problem. How many of us, you know, every day get up in the morning and say, that was a good breath, or thank God I'm breathing? We don't pay attention to our breathing. We pay attention to our heart. We pay attention to our vital organs. We pay attention to how we look. How much money do you think we spend on how we look? We even pay attention and spend money on how much we weigh. But breath? Yet without breath, the rest of it is useless. Without breath, we will not have our vital organs to take care of, or won't have to worry about how we look or how much we weigh. So breath is the most significant, and yet breath is not something we think about every day, or it's not tangible. It's just an image. Similarly, what I'm trying to say is that the Holy Spirit, even though we may not see the Holy Spirit every day, it's not tangible, the Holy Spirit is the breath of the church. The Holy Spirit is the breath of every Christian. And so here's what Paul says in today's second reading. He says, no one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. In other words, a Christian cannot do anything Christian except by the Holy Spirit. If there was no Holy Spirit, there would be no faith today. And so the church is saying the same thing. Nothing in the church, neither her sacraments, nor her prayers, neither her rituals, nor her blessings have any efficacy without the Holy Spirit. So even this Eucharist, we've gathered over here. When the priest asks the Holy Spirit to come and transform the gifts of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, imagine if there was no Holy Spirit, what would we be praying? I don't work magic. It's the Holy Spirit that transforms the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, there would not be worship. I said in the confessional, it's the Holy Spirit that brings about the forgiveness of sins. Jesus says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain are retained. So all the sacraments, even this gathering, if we were not brought here by the power of the Spirit, if we were not baptized in the Spirit, this would be just a social gathering. But the Holy Spirit makes this a holy community. And so the Bible would be empty words, our worship would be empty ritual, and our community would just be a social gathering without the Holy Spirit. So, just like our breath, which we don't think about often, which is just air, we don't see it, the Holy Spirit is the breath of the church. Without the Holy Spirit, we are dead. First point. Secondly, I want to talk about how this abstract and ambiguous Holy Spirit can be concrete. There is a way. If the Christian community becomes aware of how this abstract and ambiguous Spirit becomes concrete, then the church is empowered. And let me begin with today's second reading from the letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Paul begins today's second reading, Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 is completely focused on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he gives numerous gifts. What does he say? The Holy Spirit brings about the gift of wisdom and understanding and healing and mighty works and praying in tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy. And he lists all these gifts. Really speaking, the Holy Spirit becomes concrete in the gifts. The gifts are really the face of the Holy Spirit. However, there was a problem in that Corinthian community. People were arguing about whose gifts are better than the other. Is prophecy better than tongues? Is mighty works better than prophecy? Which of these gifts are very, very significant? Paul answers the question and tries to bring about a resolution to the conflict by making four points. First of all, he says that any gift that an individual has, any gift that a Christian has is the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, If I preach today, it's not because Satish is doing it, it's because God has given me the gift to be able to preach God's word. So that's the first thing. Secondly, that these gifts are not for personal gain, but rather for the good of the community. So if I preach the word today, and my only purpose is that at the end of Mass, people come and tell me, "Father, that was a great homily," then I've defeated the purpose of the gift. The gift is meant to build the community. Thirdly, that in the final analysis, there are three gifts that are eternal: faith, hope, and love. Without these three gifts, the rest of the gifts, tongues and prophecy, Paul would say, they're like noisy gongs or clashing cymbals. And fourthly, Paul says that of the three eternal gifts, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. In fact, all the gifts find their culmination in the gift of love. So here is then the practical implication of this feast. If you have an iota of love in your heart, this much love, if you have this much love in your heart, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you have the minutest hope in the abounding mercy and the love of God, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so really speaking, if you have any of these three gifts, you should feel very empowered. Because we are not without the Spirit. We are not without the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So how does this abstract, ambiguous Spirit become concrete? Through you and me and the gifts that God has given to us. So who's the face of the Holy Spirit? You and I. What does the Holy Spirit look like? Looks like me, looks like you, looks like these children that are to be baptized. Provided we use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because that is how the Holy Spirit becomes concrete and real in our world today. So the challenge for the community today is not just, "Dear God, fill us with the Holy Spirit," but to really pray, "Dear God, fill us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and help us so that we may use these gifts not for our own selves or to become pompous, but that we may use these gifts to spread your love in our church and in our world." So the Holy Spirit is not as abstract and as ambiguous as we think the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is as real and concrete as every Christian, because God has given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit to live it out in the world. So pray today that not only that you may become aware of God's gift, faith, hope, and love, but that you might be able to bring that to the world. That is where the church lives out its mission. So I have a little prayer that I gave to everybody as we came into the church. In my third point, what I would like is to truly pray this prayer as a Christian community. May we be like the people who gathered in that upper room asking for God's Spirit to come upon us. So if you have this prayer, may I please ask you to go on your knees, and together we will pray this prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to come and empower us. Together we pray. Holy Spirit of God, breath of my breath, life of my life, soul of my soul, I praise you, I adore you, I worship you. I bring before you my whole life, my mind, my soul, my mind, and my body. Come possess me and make me holy. Possess my heart that I may love God above all else. Possess my soul that I may yearn for God and God alone. Possess my mind that I may know God. Possess my body that I may glorify God in my being. I consecrate this day to you. Grant me wisdom so that I may know that in God alone is all truth. Grant me peace in my heart and calm all my fears. Grant me love so that I may show compassion. Grant me patience so that I may take the opportunity to learn from life and others. Grant me understanding so that I may deal wisely with the mysteries that today brings. Grant me faithfulness so that I may lovingly nurture each of my relationships. Grant me kindness and generosity so that I may share God's love and my being with those in need. Grant me self-control so that I may not hasten to wrong words and actions. Be my all today and forever. Amen. So the reason I gave you this prayer is I would like you, if you wish, to take this home with you. I begin my daily prayer with this. I begin my day each day with this prayer. Helps me a great deal to kind of focus myself and to make sure the purpose of my life. So take this home with you, and if you would like to use this for prayer, do so. May our worship today be an experience for us of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. People of God said.